Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Who is ready to go on a mushroom trip with me today? Just kidding. We're going to set the stage on how you get your mind right. And the main message that I want to convey to you, tribe, is that all good projects, as we always say, start with the right foundation. And most importantly, the mindset to tie in with that. And so the question I want you all to think to begin with the end in mind today is, how can you really look inward to be your best? And let's talk about how we flush out the shit, because it's a reality and it's a really hard thing. And without a good you and without a good foundation on a project, I can tell you, you will not be successful, and that sucks. And then you'll probably burn out. So how does this benefit you is let's address alternative ways to deal with the trauma of being part of this badly built project world. I raise my hand. Man, a lot of us that kind of think we know what we're doing, but we don't know what we don't know. And boy, we're jaded by what we think we know. We're getting burned out. So let's look at some fresh perspectives to break through the ceiling to build better buildings, which is what we're all about. So we've lived through it. I also ask you, what tools in your toolbox are you using to repair your mental health? To have as much fun as possible, it's been a really incredible journey that I've went on. Is maybe a mushroom trip the journey for your answer? That's pretty crazy to think about. And so my perspectives, we always talk about leave your shit at the door in construction. Get in here and make this thing happen. So today, we are not checking our psychological warfare at the door. So here's the big question. Pie in the sky, woo-woo shit that we allow to say. I'm going to say, how do we leave here today? And how do you stop cold turkey and sit and enjoy the sky? And I raise my hand and I'm going to start this thing with the questions we're going to ask with a superstar coming into the conversation today is, you know what? I'm super excited. But I am really kind of, I don't understand my breath. And I don't understand this mind-body connection stuff. Quite frankly, I've never had real therapy. And I think a lot of people listening to this stuff are scared of it. Maybe I am too. So that's why I'm leaning into this to say, how do we get excited to go on this journey and exceed our expectations? Bumper sticker, retreatboss.com. Shout out to the algorithms of the world that came to me. Facebook came in and said, Devin, Retreat Boss organization, you should go to this. For whatever reason, I clicked on it. I went to it. I click into this thing in December when we're all trying to figure out how do we do a better me? How do we break through the ceiling next year? How do we set the goals of generations of trying to figure this out? Click the button. Go into the room. I'm looking at the screen. Let's call it 100 people on the screen. I'm looking around. I see like 3 to 5 dudes on the screen. They introduce it. They say, now we're going to go into pre-programmed breakout rooms. We go to the breakout room. There's 10 of us. I'm now the one guy looking at the screen. And this awesome person that later I'm going to be interviewing in the podcast, she says, let's set the stage right. Let's do some breathing. Take 3 deep breaths. I actually stop breathing. I'm like, can't breathe at this point. I'm looking at the screen and I see people that know how to breathe and their eyes are closed and they're so they're breathing. I'm choking. And now it's going into the thing and I'm like, holy smokes. And then she asks questions. She goes in and it goes silent. And she's in, does anybody have any input on this? And I said, I'm just trying to breathe here. And she kind of looked at me. And so we had this follow up and it's been great of people that are
know this stuff. Like, I've spent generations selling windows and doors. We speak too much window and door to people that don't understand window and door. And that's my boots on the ground back to the art of construction. So shout out to the Retreat Boss organization that challenged me to meet one of those or a couple of those 100 people. And that's what we're all trying to do. And that's who you get to meet today is Erica, who's going to share her story of how she became a better you. How do I become a better me? And how do we come together through the Master Facilitator community that I'm honored to say she's our newest member of that organization? So we all have cool stories that could maybe stop you in your tracks. But Erica had a story that just stopped me in my tracks. And Tribe, I hope it does the same for you. Erica, welcome to the stage. What's your favorite beverage?
Thank you. Okay, so I was thinking about this and I was like, coffee. It has to be coffee. I get very excited in the morning when I smell coffee brewing. I'm like, yes, that is how I can wake up and go.
I love it. This morning, that's like our moment where I was prepping for today's podcast, and I hear my wife in the other room, and we just redid our kitchen, and it was all about the coffee bar. And I hear my job is to make the coffee the night before, and her job is she always gets up early, and she hits the button. Well, for whatever reason, last night I didn't put water in the coffee pot, and it just screwed up our sanctuary.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Of setting.
Don't screw up the morning, man.
So, you know, it's you know the lead in that I'm so excited for this conversation. But on the flip side of like, there's always things that you know, like you have the perfect plan till you get punched in the face, right? And so, you got to set the stage right. And I totally agree with you. The right cup of coffee is at the right time, at the right moment to work into it. But let's go into what is your favorite place that you've traveled?
Okay, so it's one of my favorite things to do is travel. So I'm going to go with Maui. So we went to Maui just this past May. Our oldest graduated from college. And so we were like, okay, my husband and I have been before, but it was years and years ago. And so we're like, okay, let's take the girls. We have two daughters. And so we're like, let's take the girls. And it was just a very fun family memory, but also it's just a beautiful place to be. We love blue water and white sand and sunshine and 80 degrees. That's awesome.
Give us one story, one memorable story from the trip.
My gosh, my kids are going to crack up at the story. So my husband and children they love good food. They get very excited about it. And so on our first night there, we go and we have, a wonderful dinner. But in particular, all three of them love desserts, right? And I'm not so much of a dessert person, but I love to watch them. I just really love their desserts. And so we're looking at this menu and something, you know, comes by us. And my husband's like, we need that. Like, we need that. I'm like, yeah, dad. Yeah, that's the one, right? So they order, it's called a hula pie. And that thing is, I mean, it is the largest piece of dessert I've ever seen in my life. And it's got layers upon layers upon layers of some kind of macadamia nuts and some kind of chocolate and ice cream and you name it, it's like on this piece of hula pie, right?
Nice.
And it comes to the table and they're literally just like devouring it within like a minute. And I'm just watching them like, wow, that's amazing, right? Like I'm just floored by the love that they have of food, of just making memories together. So then it became a very funny thing the rest of the week in our family of just like, we got to go get some more hula pie, you know.
On the island time, right? With some hula pie. Love it. So the third question we always ask in the speed round is, what do you like to do outside of construction? And I want to give some clarification of the quote unquote outside of construction to tee this thing up today. We always ask, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena that we passionately call the art of construction? And I struggled with, should I be interviewing Erica? Because she hasn't spent a life of building better buildings, which is our mantra here on the art of construction. But the story on the lead-in got me really thinking to say, these people stop me in my tracks. Maybe we should look another way to have others stop in their tracks. So I'm not asking this question from Erica of, what do you passionately do outside of construction? What is your hobby or interest in passionately outside of helping people get their minds right?
Travel.
Erica, full name, where you're born, your story that led you to being the CEO and founder of Sacred Ground Retreats. Welcome to the stage.
Thank you. So my story, I think I grew up in a small town in Ohio and was the only one of my family who went to college. And so it was in me, I wanted to become a nurse. From the time I was in eighth grade, it was just like, whatever I have to do. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that it meant 4 years of college. I didn't know any of that. But my best friend was going to college. And so I was like, okay, I got to go do what she does. And so her parents took her around and showed her different colleges. And I just said, wherever you go, I'll go. And so I ended up going where she went. And I was like, oh, wow, I have to do this for 4 years. You know, this is a lot. That's a lot of work. But I did. I graduated with my nursing degree. So Bachelor's of Science in Nursing was my first passion. And then later on became a licensed professional counselor. So I did that actually in 2020 is when I got my master's degree. And along the way, got married, had two daughters, and my husband and I have lived in many different states and currently reside in Georgia. But honestly, what brought me here to this specific business is just my own healing journey. So I was just trying to find a lot of different modalities to heal some severe trauma that I've gone through. And when you go through traumatic events, if it's one traumatic event, right, it's kind of like one incident, right? Let's say you had a car accident. Right? It's that one thing and your body can kind of get through it, but you'll have to adjust every time you get in the car, right? But if you never have another car accident, great, right? It's kind of just this one particular thing. The other kind of trauma is called complex trauma, right? It's kind of compounded over years. Many different things have happened. Maybe it's the same thing over and over and over again, right? Whether it's physical, emotional, sexual abuse, you know, as a child or into your adult years, just different things that can happen, right? And so when you get into this complex trauma type of trauma, which is my trauma, it's harder to really be able to talk it out, right? It's deeply embedded in the subconscious. And so being able to just talk hasn't proven to be very effective, right? So we need to get into those deeper layers. So as a therapist, I was like, okay, I need to get into these deeper layers of healing because just there's so many things that are affecting me in my life, right? And so I'm like, okay, I need to find a different modality. And that's where I came across using psychedelics. And I had no idea. I'm a baby of the 80s, right? We don't do drugs. It's bad for you. It's bad for your brain. It's all these things. But I started doing a lot of research on our veterans and their complex trauma, PTSD. And seeing the results of our veterans being using psychedelics and having this remarkable healing experience, right? So then I was like, okay, I need to go do this.
Erica, you've set the stage to say, on the lead in, you heard me kind of talk about how I met you through this great organization and someone just saying, let's do our breathing work. And I literally have done 30-second commercials, like I think a lot of people in construction with all this heavy stuff you talked about, of I never really understood my breath. When I say, I think I just, you know, you breathe in and you go to yoga and you've done a few of those, but not enough to like make it my lifestyle. And I think that's what we're trying to figure this thing out, where I've never really understood that. to figure out this mind-body connection, I find myself when I'm trying to breathing of like suffocating myself instead of just this better thing. So, you know, I'm leading this journey in 2026 with the Arctic Construction Tribe, and the whole culmination is trying to figure out the right people rowing in the same direction on a computer screen, listening to this podcast of so many great tools out there, but there's so much noise too, to find the right sanctuaries we're going to talk about to maybe actually stop and truly figure out how to breathe. So as I talk to people outside of construction and really leaning into this, I'm now getting better coaching on that. And that's why we're going on this journey of that. So I guess I want to start out by just saying, from your perspective, help us understand what is the point of breath work, and let's build from that.
Yeah, it's a great question, because you're right. Most of us just go through life, right? The only times we really consciously breathe, right, is when somebody tells us, stop and breathe, right? And it's awkward and it's weird and you're like, what's the point, right? But if you understand the importance of your breath, then it makes the world of difference. So right now, I want you to just do something for me, right? I'm going to have you pause, right? I'm going to have you pause and I'm going to have you sit back in your chair and just consciously relax your body. So wherever you feel tension, maybe it's in your shoulders, maybe it's in your jaw, maybe it's your legs, maybe it's your hands. Just notice what you notice in this moment. And I want you to take a big, deep breath in. Hold it. And then just let it all out your mouth. What do you notice differently?
Calmer.
Exactly. That's exactly what our breath does. So that's just one breath, right? So what our breath actually has the ability to do is get us out of that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, right? Where we do a lot of, that's where we live in our stress, right? Our bodies are tense. Our jaws are clenched, right? Our fists are all clenched. And our body just lives naturally in this heightened state, right? Because we're on the go. We got to do things, especially, you know, people in your, in construction, right? It's movement, right? It's work, it's labor, it's hard, it's physical, right? So there's not a lot of slowing down that happens, right? And that's true for all of us. We're always on the go. But our breath is the one thing that's always available to us, that we can just consciously be like, okay, I can use this. What did that take? 10 seconds, right? To take a deep breath, hold it, and blow it out. And all of a sudden, my nervous system goes from a sympathetic to a parasympathetic. Parasympathetic nervous system is where we get that calm, that relax, that digest, right? That's what happens when we're sleeping. If we get good sleep, right, our breath is moving into this parasympathetic nervous system and we're calm, we're relaxed, we can rest well. So that's what's so important about our breath.
So I'll call myself when I say, I hope everybody took the time to do that breath with me, and you maybe heard some of that on the podcast. Hopefully you did that. And like I think you just said, that was one breath. Now you need to go into the one guy that I talked to from Sacred Ground of like, how do you meditate for 10 minutes? All these things coming together of, I think people that are into construction are like, how do the steps work? And then when you learn how construction work, it's like, there is no linear path. It's this circle that we built, trying to build this circle of trust, right? And so building trust is to let your guard down and take some deep breaths and enjoy the sky, right? Tell us about Sacred Ground Retreats, but please do it in storytelling about the aha moment when I was just like, okay, you went to psychedelic mushrooms and the journey of when you showed up in Jamaica and how Sacred Ground Retreats all came together of when you're in that spot of vulnerability, right? So I'm here to be vulnerable and help people lead this change. I hope you can kind of share the story of our pre-interview when you talk through about, I'm sure glad I had my coaching and my knowledge when I showed up in Jamaica, and why and what is Sacred Ground Retreats. I will put all of this information in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. So for me, right, like I was saying earlier, like I don't do drugs. I don't do those kinds of things, right? This is crazy. Why would I do this? But I was desperate. I was desperate for healing, desperate for change, just desperate for transformation. So I came across a place in Jamaica that was doing mushrooms therapeutically. And that was very important to me. I didn't want to just go to, you know, Peru or Costa Rica or, you know, other places in Jamaica and just show up, right? Without any kind of therapy being present, right? And so I go, and my husband comes with me. FYI, my husband is ex-FBI, right? And so we don't do these things. He's never done these things. I've never done these things. It's very unusual, out of character for us. But it just was one of those things that when you're desperate and you really want healing, you're willing to kind of think outside the box, right? Like, okay, if this works, this will change my life, right? And so we go without any preparation. It was just, you know, we did an intake form and we showed up. And so that week we did our psilocybin mushroom journeys, and it changed my life. So at the end of that week, I knew, like 100%, I knew that I was healed. It was so apparent to me that I was like, okay, I'm going to go home and I want to be on the other side of this, right? I need to offer this to my own clients and to those who are not yet my clients, right, as a therapist, because it was so profound. And so I get home and I realize, wow, there's still some things like I need to, like, there's work to do, right? There's this integration piece that I need to have support, and I need to be able to process these things. And I just kept thinking, wow, I'm so glad that I'm a therapist, that I know how to take all of this and make sense of it when I came back home, right? Because like every other time, you know, when you travel, you go on retreats, you do these things, right? And you come back, it's real world kind of thing. And this is such a big, significant thing that most people haven't done. And if they've done psychedelics, they haven't done them this way. And so having that integration, having that support, having that peace afterward, I was like, man, this is really where the change takes place that lasts, right? We want lasting change, not just like kind of the camp high, no pun intended. But really, for me, I was like, I want lasting change, right? So then that created in me a desire. I was like, okay, I want to go get trained. I want to make sure that I understand and that I don't just jump off the cliff with my own, you know, experience that I've had. Well, I've done it, so you can too. So I did a 12-month training to become a psychedelic practitioner. And then I just started thinking about, like, okay, how can I create something where people feel prepared and ready on the front end, right? They feel like they're not just showing up with a bunch of strangers. And then how can I continue to care and integrate and provide therapy afterwards so that people feel the support and they feel like, okay, yeah, I'm back home, but I'm not kind of dropped off, right? That there's still very specific support. So what I did is create an 8-week intensive, right? So 3 weeks of virtual preparation, 1 week of our journey together in Jamaica, and then 4 weeks of care, of integrative care afterwards, right? So we're all together for a full 8 weeks. And then just to continue on that care at 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. So it's a whole 12-month program to provide wraparound services, not just 1 week retreat and, you know, good luck.
I want to ask you, from your perspective of what do mushrooms do, that I've been blessed to go on different golf places around the world and different things, and it's amazing different in and outs of what people do to get their shit out. And when I hear the word mushrooms, I've been in a lot of different places of more for their version of the Colorado Rocky Mountain High. But quite frankly, I'm scared of them, and I'm scared of all of it. I'm scared of weed, mushrooms, all that stuff, because what does it lead to? Does it lead to bad things or to good things? So, Eric, I'm really curious from your perspectives. It worked for you, but can you really talk through what mushrooms do from your perspective, from just the science, not from what this person thinks for them Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, Devin, I was like you. I was also scared, right? I've never done this. What's going to happen? I had no reference point, right? But this is honestly what helped me as a therapist and as a nurse, right? I was like, I need the science. I need to understand what's happening. Why does it work? How does it work, right? Because like you, my only understanding and, you know, knowledge is that, you know, people go to California, people go to Colorado, people go to New York and they get high and it's quote unquote fun, right?
Yeah. And on the third party story, like before you go on the science part of like, I vividly remember in high school, some friends are like, let's go onto the golf course and we're going to do these mushrooms. And I was like, I went with them. I snuck out and we went at night to the golf course and they got these things and I was not doing it and they were, and they're like, they saw Mario and Luigi. This is a time when Nintendo was a big thing. And it's like,
yeah,
where they were going of like going into this outer space land. I was like, what? This is really scary, right? And it's always stuck with me to say, I don't know if I want to see dragons and Mario and Luigi out at Turkey Toe. So that's where I'm coming from. But if it did help me and others like live a balanced life, that's pretty cool. So that's what I wanted to hear your version of how it, and some science behind this.
And that's such a great point, because there is a difference, right? What's your intention? What's your set? What's your setting? We talk a lot about that, right? And why we do what we do, where we do it, right? Legality is important to us, right? We don't just do it in our backyards and bring some people over to an Airbnb, right? Ethics, legality, therapy, it's all very important surrounding what we do, right? So mushrooms, lots of people, you know, they'll take a dose and go to a concert. They'll take a dose and go to a golf course, right? They'll sit on the beach, right? They'll do all these things. We hear it all the time. What we do is it's a higher dose, right? So we're not going in it for fun, right? So at these higher doses, either whatever the dose is, it's the intention, right? And so what we're doing is clinically, what they're doing, right? Scientifically, is mushrooms work on the serotonin receptors. Okay, so let me just kind of break that down. Serotonin receptors, they are what help us feel connected, right? It's kind of our little connection neuroreceptors. So it helps us to feel more connected to God or the universe, whatever you believe, helps us feel more connected to the earth, to each other, just humanity, right? And also to ourselves. Now, that's really important when we are doing, you know, mental health work. If we feel connected emotionally, it helps us to feel more safe, right? The other thing that the mushrooms do is it works on our default mode network. So essentially what that does, the default mode network, is kind of think of it like a inner narrator, okay, right? It's kind of the story that you're telling yourself all the time, right? It's constantly just getting a lot of information, processing it and trying to make meaning of it, right? So a lot of times people will call our default mode network like our ego, right? And so what mushrooms do, it relaxes that space in our brain, right? So we're no longer in our kind of cognitive conscious mind fighting or arguing or resisting, right? These deeper things that lie in our subconscious brains. So because that's relaxed, right, kind of our ego's relaxed, our fight or flight's relaxed, and we can just kind of go deeper, we can get the information that we need. Okay, so what what's beyond the anxiety? What's beyond the depression? What's beyond those trauma thoughts, right? And those trauma reactions? That gives us information. Once we have that information, then we can process that, right? So when we're not doing, you know, this deep work and we're just kind of like, you know, people coming to me as a therapist and they're just sitting there talking, right? That's all our cognitive brain, right? It doesn't normally connect with our emotional brain. By doing this, it allows both sides of the brain to connect, and then we can process this out and be like, okay, well, how did you feel as you were going through that, right? And that's what integration does. So we do that in real time in Jamaica, and we continue to do that for the rest of the year, right? To process those deeper things.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And here's the part of I wrestled with this because I was just personally really intrigued. And that's kind of how this whole journey started with building our relationship through the Sacred Retreat platform of how and why does this fit into construction? And if we can help a few people get through their stuff and show up better, as we're really struggling with my company and others of like, you know, you work four tens in the field and it's hard and it's gritty, but getting people to show up on Monday with the right mindset is really hard. And so that's what I've been going on this journey of like, how do you certify yourself? And when you show up, you're certified by others to kick ass and build better buildings.
Yeah.
So I kind of challenge you to think on how you bring perspectives to that from the science of construction. Can you point out some of the struggles from your point of view of, you know, you and I always talked about the right foundation, but point out some of the quote unquote obvious stuff for us to think about where we should maybe more lean into this for people in construction.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've learned about people in construction, it's the second highest suicide rate in the industry. I intentionally just took a pause there because I don't know that your listeners even know that about themselves. That's a very large statistic. And that's jarring, right? It should make us kind of pause and be like, wait, why? What's happening? Well, obviously you guys know what's happening, right? What you just said, long hours, physical labor, right? It's just stress, the unknown of income, right? It's seasonal. It's weather dependent. It's recession dependent, right? All these things, you never know if you're going to have a job. So you have to show up. You have to show up whether you have a good day or a bad day. You have to show up whether you're injured or not, right? You have to go to work. That's a lot of stress that you carry in your body every single day to provide for yourself. If you're married and have a family, to provide for your family, right? And a lot of times that stress, that lack of work-life balance leads to anxiety, leads to depression. And these are the things that most people don't want to talk about, right? Kind of like you were saying earlier, it's just suck it up. Get to work. Do your job. We don't have time for this, right? And yet, it's the very thing that's holding you back from doing a great job, right? I'm sure many people show up and do a great job. And yet, you can do so much better. It's kind of like when you're talking about a foundation and your foundation cracks, right? At some point, you're going to have to go fix that foundation. The crack can only get so big before you have to repair it. That's the same with your mental health, right? The things that are going on inside constantly, you can live like that for a long time. But at some point, you're going to crack, right? That crack is going to get so big that you're going to have to do something different. And one of the beautiful things about like what I offer So the research has shown that one psilocybin journey, right, which lasts 4 to 6 hours, just one, is equal to 10 years of therapy.
Time and money, two things we don't have enough of. That seems like a pretty fast track.
Right? But it's hard work, right? And that, I think that's the thing that most people are like, man, I don't want to go to therapy. I don't want to sit and talk about myself. This stupid, you know, nobody cares. I feel weak. I feel embarrassed. I feel humiliated. I should be able to get it together. I have nothing to be sad about. I have nothing to complain about, you know. And yet, I mean, 64% of people in construction report having anxiety or depression. The 58% of industry workers admit to using or misusing substances, whether that's drugs or alcohol.
And therein lies why this is the perfect podcast for the Art of Construction master facilitators to figure out how to lead the tribe to show up the right way. Because those statistics that you brought to the table, and thank you for constructifying this, of we all have cracks in all the different parts. How do we best begin with the end in mind to, when the cracks show up, to fix them, right? And so if you think the other side of this fence, how do we take and listen to this podcast and make the right steps forward? What I'm going to do is share it with my leadership team and say, what do you think we should do different from this? Because we just had another employee we had to let go because he's that misuse. And it's brutal to the team because they're good people. They're just choosing to make bad decisions.
It's an unhealthy coping mechanism. Right?
But it's the reality. And this is the part that we keep putting blinders on to say, there's not enough good people, because quite frankly, there's not enough good people. So that's why we're so big on what we call system-built construction, to help set the stage of what is the right way to permit the structure to blend on and off-site construction, and what is the right way to give the right tools to show up mentally and physically the right way. Because let's face it, very few people are going to step up and do it the right way. And that's what you, why I was honored to have you on this podcast, to say, you're trying to do it the right way. And you're learning by doing, and a catalyst to change is hard. So thank you for stepping up and taking the time to where I don't think this journey led you from a nurse to doing mushrooms for yourself, to meeting Devin to say, let's help maybe doing something together for people in construction. That's what I'm trying to bracket this as a business plan, right? And that's what this podcast does, that I've worked really, really hard to say. I always have and want to keep this what it is this is a podcast for whoever I interview. It's a way for them to help build better buildings. But if we don't show up right, it doesn't really matter. And so that's the whole thing of the airplane of put the mask on yourself first so you can help others. That's the journey that we're going on now. And so we have a lot of really cool ideas. I hope the people that listen to this, Erica, I hope you share it through the network that our foundation, which was the Retreat Boss, and your tribe in Georgia, and your wonderful family to the Maui Pies and all the different things coming together. Yeah. How do we smile more and be frustrated less, right? And so I don't know what step I'm going to make. I can tell you there's several people I'm going to share this podcast with. You know, my rider dies. I'm going to say, you know, multiple of them like mushrooms and what microdosing and what this stuff means in Colorado. I don't get it and don't understand it and haven't tried it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to share this podcast and say, what do you think about trying it this way? And I'm going to ask my personal ride or dies that. I'm also going to share it with my leadership team. And selfishly, I hope you all do the same, because the listening rates are getting harder and harder to people to show up and listen is step one, because it's hard to listen But then the really, really hard part is taking action. Of Erica, you took action, but it wasn't, it's because you cared for this podcast of getting into the Master Facilitator community. You said, yes, I'm in, I want to do it. But then the login doesn't work or whatever doesn't happen and whatever walls get put up in front of you. And then we, whatever, if it's a bad wall, we got to pound the hell through it and get the shit out of the way, right? Yeah. And so that's the call to action of saying, how does Erica show up for me to help live a better Colorado Rocky Mountain High? But this global megaphone, maybe we should take a trip to Jamaica. And so with that being said, Erica, as we work on closing this thing out, the questions we've always asked and always will ask, because this podcast is dedicated for the builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products. And boy, the longer I play this great game of business, what a product means, pretty wild. Is it really? A mushroom is the product that we should be thinking about? Because at the end of the day, we're trying to break down these barriers to create the right handshakes. And I don't know if it's 2 days or 20 years, but boy, I'm excited to shake Erica's hand someday from this podcast. So with that being said, Erica, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction? Because leading up to all these podcasts, it was always about the tools we should be using, which is the CRM to get as many leads into the system to qualify and get after it to manage to get this shitty building built that we're all frustrated about to get the hell onto the next one to make more money.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. Whoever wants to be a part of this tribe, I don't give a shit about building more shitty buildings. I care about a tribe that wants to have as much fun as possible building better buildings. Erica, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction, whether it's 2 days or 20 years when we shake each other's hand?
Mm-hmm. So I think it should be human-centered tools that improve precision, sustainability, and decision-making. So when I think about you guys in particular, right? And as technology is constantly trying to take human jobs, you guys are in a particular state, right? To use human-centered tools, you have to use your hands. You have to use your brains, right? To create beautiful things. So as you learn all these things in your particular business, right, of using technology to advance, don't forget the human piece of it is the thing that matters the most, right? So improving your own precision, improving your own sustainability, improving your own decision-making. These are things at the core that need to be front and center as you bring technology in, right? Technology is rapidly changing all the time. But we as humans don't rapidly change. So being able to stay human-centered in this space and being able to grow and being able to continue to focus on your own foundation, your own cracks, your own rapid advancement. How can you do that? How can you be the best version of yourself, even though you're literally using technology to advance?
I love it. And to close this out, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
You can only grow to the extent of your limitations. So I say, raise the roof.
Purposeful pause there. Tribe, just take a couple deep breaths. Pause and think about this conversation. And then I challenge you to reach out if you want to learn more. So every one of these podcasts, I've been on this journey for a long, long time. And I think I'm just in the gooey middle of getting started. So the call to action is just look yourself in the mirror after you listen to this and say, what should I do? And maybe share it with someone and say, what do you think of this? Because I think this is really one of those things that building community and building trusted partnerships is you got to step outside your comfort zone and go to your ride or dies. My wife and I joke when anybody says it, we just say, we don't have time to do that stuff. We're too busy. We got to get to Evo. We got to get to our job. We don't have drug testing, but maybe someday. And as I'm closing this thing out, my stepfather that raised me, he said, man, I wish we could flip this upside down and saying from 40 to 50, you don't work because your mind and your body's ready to go vacation and travel and do these things. He said, but that's not how the system is set up. You work all this so hard and you're just in the rat race of construction that he was the one that raised me and was my boss's boss in the corporate world of supply chain when I started this thing. And I'm going to send this to him and say, well, thank you for giving so much to us of training the trainer. But what if we change the script a little bit? When I'm listening to this at 46 years old, what should we think and do a little bit differently to maybe go on a mushroom trip and change the status quo when you can physically do it and flush out the shit and manage the two things we don't have enough of, and that's time and money. And I'm going to put this into the tools in the Master Facilitators community that I'm going to challenge Erica to look at of how do you live a full life perspective that my father-in-law, Greg Gebben, built of the export of that is called the time relationship chart. And so taking different your mentors and our mentors of blending all of these things together to say, how do you map this shit out? And when should you take the right risks? And when should you just stop and take a few deep breaths? When in doubt, start there. Erica, thank you so much for sharing your story. We'll put all the links to the show notes for the people that want to jump in tomorrow and go to Jamaica like you did, and I commend you. But hey, let's put some guardrails in this thing to help us have as much fun as possible. What do you say?
Yes. Love that.
Awesome. Crush it out there, tribe. Thanks, Erica.